So I want you to keep in mind what we discussed in the first recording as you continue to listen to the rest of the recordings, because each one will expand on different aspects of that one. So in the last recording, I mentioned something I call purpose adjacent, and we'll get into that in just a minute. But first, I want to share a little bit more about myself. So throughout my life, I've always been creative, multi-talented. I can draw, paint, sing, sew, design, build, teach, and write. So really just give me almost any medium and I'll find a way to make something beautiful with it. If you're also someone with many talents, you probably know how hard it can be to just pick one or even two to focus on as a career or even as a side project alongside your regular work. As hobbies, I'd move from one project to the next depending on the season, and while I've loved many of them and gained so much from them, when I'd single one out to turn it into a career, it was always short-lived. I know how conditioning can create stories in our subconscious, such as I can't make money doing what I love, or art doesn't pay enough, etc. But I could point out several examples that totally showed the lie in that. And I had worked on my mindset and my blind spots and all those things, right? So a while back, I had a conversation with my guides about this. And I said, you know, I came into this world with so many talents, and I'm grateful for that. But why does it feel like nothing fully takes off? Why does it feel all short-lived? And I heard very clearly that I had forgotten the spiritual component. Now, I'm not trying to say that everyone's missing ingredient is spirituality, because we are all on different paths here. But for me, a huge part of my purpose is to provide spiritual services, to inspire others, to raise the vibration in the spaces where I live, work, and play. So when spirituality isn't a part of the equation, things may work for a little while, but they eventually lose their spark and they lack longevity, right? So once I understood this, though, everything else made more sense. And that's where the idea of purpose adjacent came from. Because it's not that I hadn't been successful in my creative work. To an extent, I had. I did UI UX design for a while, working on websites. And during the pandemic, I sewed aprons and I sold them. And I've done room design, graphic design, freelance projects, and even editing. And each of those things gave me something. But none of them were sustainable, it seemed, because spirituality wasn't the container holding them together, and for me, it needs to be. And that's what happens for so many of us, right? We do things that are connected to our gifts, adjacent to our purpose, but they don't quite touch the heart of what we're truly meant to offer. That's why reconnecting to what you love is such an important piece of this process. Sometimes we forget, right? We lose touch with our talents or the things that bring us joy. But those very things are the breadcrumbs. They always point us back to our deeper truth. So let's talk about disconnection. Disconnection is a byproduct of survival strategies, patterns we've learned and leaned on for probably a really long time. They help us get by, but they often pull us away from what makes us feel alive. And sometimes this happens so gradually we don't even notice. We slip into survival mode, chasing expectations, following rules that were never ours to follow, carrying lots of responsibility, and overextending ourselves for the people we love, or simply just to survive, right? And then one day, somewhere in our mid-40s, we wake up and we realize we've lost touch with anything that matters to us, and we have a midlife crisis. That's usually how the narrative goes, especially in the United States. And it's totally understandable, right? Especially as a single parent like I was, with constant responsibilities and multiple jobs, creativity just for myself was always pushed to the back of my mind. And I'd tell myself, okay, when I get home tonight, I'll spend 30 minutes drawing. But I'd get home and it never happened. Or I'd say, once I finish this work project, I'm going to do my own project. But mine kept getting pushed aside. And eventually that became the rhythm. my real passions postponed for survival. And here's something important I really want you to listen to. So during that time, I thought that if I just found more ways to make more money, I'd finally have freedom. More money sounded like more time because that's what society teaches us, even when it comes to Maslow's hierarchy of needs, for example, that still heavily influences fields like psychology and sociology. You've got your basic physiological needs at the very base of the pyramid. All of the physical things that we literally need to survive, like air, water, food, sleep, and shelter, right? And then above that, on the next level, there's safety. So employment, resources, health, property, and personal security. And we don't get to something like creativity until all the way at the top of the pyramid with self-actualization. But if we are constantly oscillating between those two base levels, right, between acquiring employment and resources in order to have the physical things that we need, then how do we ever reach the self-actualization all the way at the top? Under these circumstances, we don't, right? Because what we're doing, at best, we're striving for like that third level of love and belonging, where friendship and intimacy and family and connection exist. And by the way, freedom and self-esteem and confidence and achievement, that doesn't even come into play until the fourth level. So there's not nearly enough room created within this framework for things that feed the soul. What I think is that this hierarchy is outdated, right? Maybe it was reflective of the times back when it was created in the late 40s or 50s, but it no longer supports what it is that we need as a society right now, nor what reality is for a lot of us. We are yearning for something far more circular that has far less rigid borders between the sections, between the levels, right? And something that is more fluid, because that's how we naturally move. That's how we naturally navigate life in this day and age. And it might not appear like it right now, but we are collectively moving away from hierarchy. So to think that we first have to conquer levels 1 through 4 before we get to where we can be creative and we can be spontaneous and we can align with our deeper sense of purpose and our authenticity is backwards in thinking, because oftentimes that is the thing that's needed first. Now, some people figure out a thing, make tons of money, and go off and live their best life. And I am not trying to limit the universe, because anything is possible and it doesn't have to ever be one or the other. But for me, that hasn't been my story yet. What I needed, and what so many of my clients discover they need too, is to flip the script they've been writing and reinforcing for themselves. They need to bring their creativity, their joy, and their essence forward first. That backwards thinking is all rooted in survival strategies to keep us afloat, but they don't allow us to get to the heart of who we really are. But when we allow the noise to fall away, we'll notice that what's left is our essence, our true north, that part of us that wants to be present in everything we do. Reconnection is about remembering what brings you joy, what nourishes you, and what makes you feel most like yourself. The more you return to those things, the more your path begins to clarify without so much pushing and effort. So let me give you an example. Not too long ago, I asked my guides to help me with embodiment. I had started deep meditation again, the way I practiced years ago, but I remembered the hard lesson I learned back then. I was taking in too much, right? Too much channeled information, too many downloads, and I wasn't good at integrating it and truly embodying it. This time, I wanted it to be different. So I made a specific request, help me embody what I receive. And my guides responded by sending me a consciousness to connect with. They introduced themselves as the mothers, and they showed up specifically to help me with embodiment. Now, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, I don't know my spirit team that well, I can't reach out like that. You most definitely can. It just takes practice, but regardless, you can simply toss up a question or request to your team at any time because they can hear you, even if you can't hear them. After I made that request, it was the following week or so when I was guided to flip my routine completely. So instead of starting my day with work, with all the responsibilities and all the shoulds, I was told to begin with what brought me joy. So I started with drawing, and I slowed down my mornings with a meditation, a walk, and art. Then the weekend rolled around, and my days turned into nothing but doing art, singing, and dancing around my apartment. And on the other side of it, I felt as though I had literally sung, danced, and drew what I was receiving in meditation into my body. And that's the definition of embodiment, right? Taking things from concept, theory, or as things that we only think and talk about, and literally bringing them into our bodies, our beings, and allowing them to become a part of who we are. Since then, my days have definitely felt a lot freer and more guided. Each morning, I open the day asking, what is there for me to do today? Sometimes the answer is nothing but connecting with friends and enjoying the day, and other times there's work to be done. But now it all comes through guided action. And that's what I mean by moving away from pushing and efforting our way into things. Sure, we can do that. Like I mentioned before, we can hard work ourselves into manifestations, but it often leads to less joy, less alignment, and for many of us, less abundance. Sometimes we even jump too soon or don't jump at all because we're somewhere overthinking things and we're missing all the signs and signals. Reconnection helps us break those patterns. And it all starts there with remembering what brings you joy, what nourishes you, and what makes you feel like yourself. And you can use that as the foundation for the life that you want to create. As I mentioned before, reconnecting with yourself is one of the most important things you can do when you're in the in-between. It's what will help you move stagnant energy. It's what will help you get unstuck. And it's what will help you know that that direction is the correct direction for you at this time, given where you are in your cycle of growth. So in addition to having a great time that weekend creating art, I then received an idea for a 6-week art class on art and archetypes that I then fleshed out and partnered with an art studio nearby and hosted over the summer. And there's even a story within that story about aligned action and synchronicity and how fun it can be when you are creating something that is an extension of yourself. But I'll save that for another time because I want to help you connect back in with your own essence before I go. So there are tons of things that you can do to reconnect with yourself. And I mentioned some in the first recording. But if you're sitting there listening, like, I don't remember, I don't really know what it is that I like to do. There are always some things that we take for granted, right? And we put them on the back burner. So we're going to jump into the exercise right now to help you touch back into your essence and reconnect with yourself. So we're going to do something called pleasure mapping. And no, not the sexual kind, because this ain't that type of party, right? What we're going to do is connect with moments, memories, and experiences that make you feel alive. So go ahead and pause this recording if you need to. Grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea or your beverage of choice and something to write with. And when you're ready, meet me back here. So get comfortable and gently place your attention on your breath. Take a few slow, deep breaths and let your shoulders drop. And for this activity, we're going to set the intention of activating your sacral chakra, the home of your creativity, pleasure, sensuality, and emotional well-being. So I want you to place a hand on your stomach near your navel, and I want you to breathe in deeply, picturing your breath being pulled into your sacral chakra and filling it. You can imagine it spinning. You can imagine it widening. You can imagine it pulsating. And when you're ready, I want you to bring three things to mind. So number one, think of a moment a memory, or activity where you felt fully alive. It can be anything. Roller skating, planting vegetables, dancing in the kitchen while making dinner. Whatever comes up first, write it down. And you can pause this, of course, at any time if you need more time. Number two, I want you to think of a person or a connection that fills you with warmth and joy. Whoever shows up first, trust it. Why? Because part of our human experience is connection. So write down the person or relationship that brings you that feeling of human connection. And number three, I want you to bring to mind an experience, no matter how simple, that always makes you smile or relax. Maybe it was a trip years ago, a walk through a beautiful neighborhood, a quiet afternoon with friends. Write it down. Now that you have your three, I want you to go deeper with one of them. So pick one and spend the next 5 to 10 minutes writing about it. Set a timer if that helps, but let yourself get specific. What did you feel like during that moment or memory or activity or experience? What were you doing? What were you wearing? Were you inside or outside? In a neighborhood or in the mountains? What colors were around you? How did it make you feel? Did you feel ecstatic, peaceful, humming with energy? Was your heart full? Why was it so special? After you're done writing about it, I want you to read what you wrote. Really imagine yourself there. Notice what happens in your body as you recall it. Do you feel the same joy, playfulness, or love? Now picture that feeling as energy filling your chest, expanding through your heart chakra, and let it spread down through your solar plexus, into your sacral chakra, down through your root chakra, through your legs and feet. And let it move upward too, back through your root chakra, your sacral, your solar plexus, your heart, and up through your throat, your third eye, and your crown. Let it expand as far as it wants to go. So this energy, that feeling, is you. It's your resonance. It's your compass. So when something in your life makes you feel this way, it's your green light saying, yes, go this way. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove yourself for it. It's already yours. And the best part is that you can return to this anytime. Whenever you feel disconnected, pull up these memories. Remember how good they made you feel. Then find new activities, new people, new experiences that bring you that same energy. Take one big breath and anchor this feeling into your body. How do you feel right now? Do you have a sense of calm? Did you receive any clarity? Was there a softening inside? That shift, however small, is proof that your compass is alive and well, always waiting for you to notice and listen. When you consistently reconnect with what you love, clarity about your purpose and path begins to emerge naturally. Alignment doesn't come from pushing. It shows up through the activities that bring us joy, the moments that satisfy us, the simple things that make us feel good. So as it goes for this exercise, what I want you to do after this recording is to write about the other two in depth the way that you did that one. And then when you're done, ask yourself, what do these moments have in common? What quality of energy always seems to be present in your happiest times? Is it freedom, playfulness, peace, love, creativity, vitality? Don't overthink it. Just notice what comes up. And even if you have your own list of things you already know that you love to do, you can answer this question for that list too. What do these activities have in common? This exercise is just one way to help you remember and reconnect with yourself. Inside the Energy Reset Work and Purpose class, we'll go much deeper. You'll learn how to make practices like this a part of your everyday rhythm, not just one-off moments. And together, we'll explore how to create from your essence rather than survival mode, and how to align your creative work and sense of purpose with what truly brings you joy